You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to our phone lines, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave calling in from the car. Dave, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, Anita? Thanks for having me on. You know, I bounced this off the gentleman when I called in, and, you know, I hear people calling in different talk shows defending Ohtani. There's certain things in sports. I want to ask your opinion of something, just an opinion. And my opinion, just so you know, I know for a fact $4.5 million doesn't move to a street bookie without intimate knowledge of why that money's being moved there by anyone. It just doesn't work that way. You go in the bank, you deposit a certain amount. Even if you have an account, they want your ID. There's wiring rules and all that. But let me just ask a question, because this isn't like CTE in football. This isn't like steroids. When it comes down to the money, it's so transparent. It's so clear. The reaction after finding out about Ohtani, the watching baseball in a very slimy, manipulative way, release information about the story that is shifting attention away from the story. Am I to believe that there's going to be any credibility? Like, I really think the Dodgers, here's my question. I think the Dodgers have enough billions to hire a private investigator now to sit Ohtani down and say, look, man, did you know something about what was going on with this money? Because this thing is going to explode. If you do, let's get ahead of it, maybe do a suspension and get it behind us. You got lots of years ahead of us. To me, that is the thing to do of the highest integrity, to just kind of shift it away because we're just starting baseball. It's so obvious that they're trying to create a narrative that is going to make this go away. Am I wrong? $4.5 million to a street bookie? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dave, thanks for the phone call. Again, I just want to preface, I'm not accusing Ohtani of anything. This is, I'm laying out the timeline, and the timeline is fishy. And where this all went wrong for the Ohtani and Major League Baseball camp is allowing his interpreter, Mizuhara, to sit down and do a 90-minute interview with an ESPN reporter without coaching him in what to say and what not to say, because everything that he said, he is now walking back. Okay? That's where this really got ugly. You know, I think Major League Baseball and the Dodgers tried to put out a narrative that this was theft. But obviously, again, and you could go online and read the interview and see the timeline in regard to him admitting that he sat down from the computer with Ohtani and they both put together a few million-dollar wire transfers. And listen, we wouldn't be sitting here. This wouldn't be as big of a story. Think about Calvin Ridley, right? What would you say? Calvin Ridley, top 20 wide receiver in the NFL, got suspended for a year. We mentioned it on a few shows, but did it drive the narrative? No. Is Ohtani in this situation going to drive the narrative? Absolutely it is. You know, so many question marks here. Like, what's the real story? You know, did Ohtani know that this money was being wired to a bookie? $4.5 million? I don't care if you're making $1 billion. It's still $4.5 million. One would assume, right, that you would ask your friend who's in trouble and in need of money, who am I wiring this to? What is this about? What have you gotten yourself into? Not just blindly wire $4.5 million. Right? If this interpreter allegedly stole from Ohtani, why are they chumming it up in the dugout 4 hours before the first game the other day? A few hours before the announcement was made that he was quote unquote fired because of theft. Why? He can't speak to anyone. Why was he allowed to speak to an ESPN reporter for 40 minutes? That's where this all went awry. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tommy in Connecticut. Tommy, welcome in.
Anita, how are we doing today?
Great. Thank you.
So just to call back real quick, because I want to get to the Rangers, but when you brought up Grand Canyon before, the coolest thing I think I've ever done was take a helicopter tour through the Grand Canyon and over Lake Mead when I was in Vegas for the first time.
So cool, right?
Oh, amazing. Unbelievable.
And isn't it amazing how the Grand Canyon was made by a river?
Right?
Like at the end of the day, it's just the earth is amazing. Anyway, we digress.
I'm a hockey guy, obviously, and I just don't think the Rangers get enough shine. They had two, big boy wins in the last, 3 days, 3 or 4 days, and they're holding on to a chance at the President's Trophy, but which I don't think is that important. They just need to win the Metro Division. And I don't know how much attention you've been paying to it, but Artemi Panarin is having, an all-time Ranger season. This guy's incredible.
He used to be
a finesse passer, and now he just started shooting more. The guy's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tommy, full disclosure, unfortunately, and I appreciate the phone call and love the passion for the Rangers, and their season has been tremendous, right? They're sitting there with Carolina and, of course, the Flyers and that Metro Division. Do I think they win it? Yes. At least I hope they do. Are they going to make a good run for the Cup? How can you not think so, right? Boston's up there in the Atlantic, of course, along with the Panthers, who've really had a great season as well. Unfortunately with NFL and then free agency and now March Madness and the NBA, unfortunately, hockey takes a back burner for me, full disclosure. I love watching playoff hockey. I think you can argue that playoff hockey is probably one of the most exciting postseason sports to watch, and I love it. Unfortunately, I am not on top of the Rangers. Definitely following them from afar, and once we get into the postseason, and obviously expecting the Rangers to make some noise. Then we'll spend a lot more time talking about the Rangers, book some guests. On occasion, I have Greg Wyshynski, the Puck Daddy, on the show as well. But my apologies. Let's go to Joe in Rutherford. Joe, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how are you? Great show as always. You're my favorite to listen to on the radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I actually met you last year at Mike and Debbie's house. But here's my I need your advice. So I'm in this March Madness survivor pool.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is you get points depending on what seed you pick. So
right.
I've taken NC State, I got 11 points. I've taken Colorado, I got 10 points.
Good for you.
So today, yeah, I'm in first place right now, but I'm a little nervous with today. Yale to upset San Diego State, and that'll get me 13 points.
Wow.
Or Baylor to beat Clemson. If I take Baylor, it's only 3 points I'm getting. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Let me ask you this. How many points are you up by? I would imagine
only
a lot.
Up by one.
Oh, no. You're only up by 1 point. Okay.
Yeah, the guy behind me, me and him have taken two of the same three teams already, so he's right on my tail.
So I don't know if I would go Yale. I think that would be too risky for me. Joe, our producer, is telling me to tell you to take Grand Canyon. I don't know if I would do that as well. I do like Baylor. I know it's only a three seed, but I think out of the majority of the games, I think that's a safe bet to make. If you want to take a gamble, to be honest, I'd go James Madison, a 12 seed going up against Duke. I love James Madison. I just do. Out of all them, and I also like Utah State, but going up against Purdue much better than Duke.
I do like them too.
I really like James Madison. So if you really want to gamble, no pun intended, and take a shot, I'd go James Madison with a 12 seed over the four. If you want to play it safe, I'd go Baylor over Clemson with the three.
Okay. I mean, coincidentally, Joe's pick with Grand Canyon. I went there. I got my master's there. So I always root for Grand Canyon. I just don't know if I have the stones to pick them today.
That is so funny. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And big shout out to Mike and Debbie. Of course, they own a fantastic wine shop here in Hoboken called Cork, which I frequent, Avi. March Madness update. Time for your tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Like we just had the conversation, I'm all over James Madison. That game tip-off is at 5:15 this afternoon. They're getting 7.5. I like it. I also like Utah State getting 11.5 against Purdue. I know the Dogs did not shine yesterday. That's for sure. Can they shine today? Talking about Grand Canyon, they're getting 5.5 against Atlanta and Yale. Only getting 5.5 against San Diego State. I don't know. Is that telling us something? Maybe it should. Tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
And then, of course, there's Kim Mulkey, head coach of LSU, who came out yesterday, or was it this morning, Joe? And allegedly, there is a hit piece, quote unquote, that's supposed to drop from the Washington Post about Kim Mulkey. Controversial. Head coach, women, men across the board. Some lover, some hater, very few in between. No gray area when it comes to Kim Mulkey, that's for sure. I don't necessarily have an opinion. I've never met her. Don't know really a lot about her. Just know that she's had uber success in the women's college basketball circuit. So I just want to share with you again, a reporter from the Washington Post is about to drop this hit piece on her. And this is what she came out with. Again, I'm not sure if this was yesterday or this morning.
Last night.
Let's listen in. Last night. Thank you, Joe.
Former players have told me that the Washington Post has contacted them and offered to let them be anonymous in a story if they'll say negative things about me. The Washington Post has called former disgruntled players to get negative quotes to include in their story. They're ignoring the 40 plus years of positive stories that people or they have heard from people about me. But you see, reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up, and I'm not gonna let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me. Not many people are in a position to hold these kind of journalists accountable, but I am. and I'll do it.
So, you know, obviously you can hear the frustration and anger in her voice. Again, not sure exactly what the content could be if, of course, this Washington Post, quote unquote, hit piece does drop, when it will drop, what it will entail. But here's my thing, Joe. And I understand her wanting to get out in front of this, but I think this makes it worse. Like, okay, so what was her motive here? Was her motive here is to scare the Washington Post and scare the editors and scare the owners of the Washington Post so that now they will tell this reporter to not drop this story, or not publish this story? Was that the motivation? Is this press conference, is it frightening enough for them to say, okay, we're not going to release this quote unquote hit piece? Was that her motivation in having this press conference? Number one. Number two, and by having this press conference, A, is that going to work? And B, now that she's had it, now don't, like, I feel like more people are going to want to read it. So if I'm the Washington Post, I'm like, listen, we've got these players or these people on the record. We've got these people off the record. We've got, you know, you can't, knowing how newspapers operate, you know, they cross their T's, they dot their I's. You know, they wouldn't be in business this long if, you know, they were releasing stories. It's not, you know, the Washington Post isn't the Inquirer, right? Like, you know, typically rule of thumb, you know, you need to have at least three or five sources saying the same thing before you break a story. You know, you need collaboration. You need confirmation, consistency. So, I just feel by her trying to get out in front of this and understanding why, I think she may have hurt herself more than help. Agree or disagree, Joe?
I agree with it to a certain extent. I understand her defending herself, but what I also don't understand is the legal action part of it, because, look, if it's a false story, she has every right to hire a defamation lawyer and go to court. But one thing that they have to prove is actual malice. And I don't know if this is, depending on what's going to come out in this article, whether that's going to hurt her career, because if it is, if this is a situation where she ends up being a figure like Bob Knight, who knows what's going to happen here. But what I don't appreciate is her attacking the Washington Post, because what has the Washington Post gotten wrong to this magnitude? I mean, you're talking about the Watergate paper. So it's very interesting. It will definitely put an even bigger microscope on her. And one thing that she's done, which I'm surprised about as well, is she's put a bullseye on her team unnecessarily. And usually head coaches of her stature don't put unnecessary distractions on their team, especially at this time of the year and in this time of their season, because look, Angel Reese could go out in their next game and score 50. No one's going to care about that. They're only going to ask Mulkey about the story with the Washington Post.
This article, this column, right, that's about to drop. Now, you and I were talking the break. Apparently, she has beef with this reporter who, again, is allegedly put together this quote-unquote hit piece on her, because 2 years ago, he's been wanting to interview her, and she said, I'm not going to interview you because he did somebody else wrong. What did she say again? Why does she have this beef with this reporter to begin with?
She said, and I'm quoting her, she didn't appreciate the hit job he wrote on Brian Kelly, if you're going to back anybody and get in a foxhole with anybody, especially in the coaching circles, you're going to hit your wagon to Brian Kelly.
I'm here with my family.
That guy. That's who you're going to hit your wagon to. in that respect, you get whatever you deserve backing Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Again, understand the frustration. And you know, there were other quotes that we haven't played for you. And, you know, she mentions the fact that, like, in this day and age, in the media, it's all about clickbait. And at the end of the day, listen, she's right. You know, it's all about impressions.
But if it's true, it's not clickbait.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right, Joe. But at the end of the day, where we are right now in our wide, wide world of media, it's all about clickbait. So there are, I'm not accusing this guy of that, but there are a number of reporters out there that will roll with this, you know, get a quote from a player, take it out of context, and post it and present it in a way as such to get the clicks. Oh, wait, what? What did that player say? Oh, click it. And then read, you know, the details and then say, oh, well, wait a minute. That's a little misleading. You know, at the end of the day, it is all about clickbait, because these are, you know, the Washington Post, the Times, these companies, that's how they're making their money now. It's how many impressions. It's how many people are reading the article.
I understand that. But if you're going to go to this length, and something that, again, wasn't in the Smoky cut, but she went on to say, was this reporter has been on this story for 2 years. So if you're going at a story for 2 years and contacting various players and coaches that have either played under Mulkey or coached with her, that's not rushing to the keyboard to try to get a clickbait story. That's doing diligent reporting. So, again, whatever is going to come out about this is going to be very fascinating. And the truth level to this is also going to be under the microscope, and, you know, whether journalism with a capital J is exhibited here.
Quick break. We come back. Dallin Cuff is going to join us. You can see him all over our NFL platforms talking all things March Madness, as we've got a great slate of games ready coming your way this afternoon. The first to tip off at 12:10 p.m. Colorado trying to extend their Cinderella story against number 2 Marquette. Dallin Cuff next here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got a special guest joining us from ESPN, Dallin Cuff, who's just been crushing it this college basketball season. So great to have you on. I know you're one of the most wanted men on ESPN, so we do appreciate the time. How you doing, Dallin?
I'm doing well. Maybe a bit hyperbolic on your side, but I appreciate it. Real quick, how are we doing with the money line? You know, money line purchases across the tournament. Where are we looking on this?
So you liked it. Every time we talk about it on ESPN Bet, you've got a smile on your face. So I feel like you're with me.
I love it. So, where are we at? Give me the accounting.
Okay. So folks listening in, Dallin and I are both on ESPN Bet. This is somewhat of an experiment, although I called it a guarantee, which I don't think our producers really appreciated the other day. But nonetheless, the first round, we had 31 games. So I took $10 and I put $10 on every dog money line. Okay, so that's a $310 investment. There were a number of dogs that I thought were going to win that did not. McNeese State being one of them. New Mexico being another. I had quite a few that did not deliver that I thought that they would. But nonetheless, so after round one, Dallin, $305. So I was down $5 after round one. Okay. So then
Wow. Okay.
I went back to the well in round two. Now there's 16 games. So it's $160 investment. Again, taking $10, putting it at all the dog money lines. Dallin, would you know that not one dog won yesterday? Not one dog won yesterday. I mean, damn. So now I'm sitting here, man. I need Colorado. I need Utah State. I need James Madison.
Can Clemson? Grand Canyon,
can Clemson win over Baylor? Yeah. Love me Grand Canyon. I actually picked them to win against St. Mary's. Can they continue? Mm-hmm. That would be +220. I'm not giving Northwestern a shot. That would be huge for me, because that's 9-1. Texas A&M is plus 380. Yale is plus 190, which I find quite surprising. But nonetheless, man, reinvested in round two, but day one of round two did me no favors. That's for sure, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the update. I do believe today is going to be better. Yesterday it was, I gobbled up a lot of points, but didn't think a lot of the dogs could win. Today, I think it's different. You mentioned James Madison. I think Duke's in really a dangerous spot there. Duke does not deal well with physicality, and America saw how James Madison played. They saw it in display the other day. So they're physical, they're veteran, they're tough, they make shots. They've now won 14 straight. I like James Madison a lot with the number, but also playing him straight up. I think you mentioned Grand Canyon. Clemson can win. So there's a lot of dogs today that I think are not just live for the covering, but for the money line.
All right, let's do a deeper dive. Again, 12-10 in just a few minutes. Colorado, number 10 seed, goes up against Marquette, which is a 2 seed. I did have Colorado beating Florida, so this is the matchup that I did have. I do have Marquette advancing, but Colorado getting 4.5. Are you giving them a shot here?
100%. I think, well, the way Marquette played the first half against Western Kentucky, and you've got your point guard, Tyler Kolek, one of the best point guards, if not the best point guard with the ball in his hand in terms of creating offense for himself and his teammates. In the country, coming off an oblique injury, missed 6 games. Played on Friday. He looked okay. It's not great, but not bad. It just took him a while to get in the game. Took the team a while to get in the game. So when he's still kind of a question mark on his level of effectiveness, because bear in mind before he got hurt, he was averaging 25 points, 7 assists, and 7 rebounds in like the 6 games before he got hurt. Like he was playing at a whole different level. So that doesn't mean that's coming back. But can you get a reasonable facsimile of that? I don't know. So Colorado is 100% live. This is the team that we thought they would be before the season started. You know, we've got KJ Simpson's one of the best guards in the country in his own right. Cody Williams will be a lottery pick likely this upcoming year. Tristan Da Silva is a versatile four. Eddie Lampton bangs in the inside. Like they shoot it really well. They don't shoot a ton of threes, but they do shoot a high clip. They're a very good team, and they very well can beat Marquette. I mean, that's what this tournament's all about. Like, it's not like do they have a shot? 100% they have a shot. Marquette has to play well to win the game. If they don't play well, if Colorado does, Colorado's winning that game. They're that talented and also very well coached by Tad Boyle. I think it should be an outstanding matchup. I had Florida. I was big on Florida, but we did say before that game that Colorado-Florida game has the potential to be the most entertaining game in the tournament, and it delivered. This game may not be far off. Like, Colorado plays a fun style, as does Marquette. I think it should be a great game. It's awesome, too, that it's the only one on that America will pay attention to if you're sitting around on noon at 12:10 on today.
Purdue, the one seed, going up against Utah State. I did have Utah State advancing, so this is the matchup that I did pick in my bracket. I love watching them play. They're getting 11.5. I think that might be too many points. Your thoughts on this matchup, Dallin?
I'm concerned because what I really want with Purdue, what can really affect them is obviously having a big, and Grado Sabor is a big that can bang with Edie a little bit, but you need to have a big that can guard him. Nobody can guard him, but can you make it difficult on him? Can you challenge him without having to double? Or if you don't double, can he not guarantee that he's going to score on you? Obviously, Grambling State does not have that. Utah State has a little bit more of that. What you need, though, is guards that can really get up in their guards. Braden Smith and Foster Lawyer in particular, make them feel you, turn them over, frustrate them, use your athleticism and your physicality against and impose your will upon them. If you don't have that, which I'm not sure Utah State has enough of that to really affect the game, in their favor. 11.5 is a good amount of points. I'm staying away from this game. This could be a live play. I really want to see how these two teams approach it, because there's nobody really like Purdue and not really much in the country, but definitely not in the Mountain West. So I want to kind of see how that game plays out and maybe make a wager on it as we're going through the game. But pre-flop, if you will, I'm not engaging in the game, but I'm very interested. I'm ultimately probably will play something. I just want to see how it's panning out. I do think Purdue wins this game, though.
I'm with you with James Madison. Again, like them getting the points. Also like them on the money line. Grand Canyon, I know our producer is surprised, but I did have them advancing. So this is the matchup that I did have. They're getting 5.5. Are you surprised that they're not getting more points, that this isn't like more like 7 or 9.5? 5.5, that's giving Grand Canyon a lot of respect here, right, Dallin?
Well, they should be getting respect. I think people that watched that game, granted it was the last game of the night on the East Coast, so I'm not sure if people tuned in, and obviously people say, oh, it's just St. Mary's. St. Mary's is physical, they're talented, they're very well coached. And Grand Canyon, hey, that was like a home game in Spokane. There were tons of Antelopes fans there. Secondarily, everybody saw the length, the athleticism, the rim protection, Tyon Grant Foster, how talented that young man is. He's an NBA player. Like you saw that kind of all on display again. I think when people don't see the teams that much or know there are, and hear people like myself talking about them, and then you see them that first game, like James Madison, you saw them that first game. You obviously saw Grand Canyon. You've seen Colorado now. It kind of registers differently. And I think the number's probably right. I mean, I got it on a DraftKings for plus six, plus six, and I'm happy to get that because I think it's going to, and some books it's 5.5. It's gonna maybe move down, and most books down to 5.5. I think they are the smart money here. In Alabama, they're a talented team, but if you can guard their yard, keep them in front of you relatively well, that's how they get most of their threes. And I think Grand Canyon can do that. Similarly, I think they can contest them at the rim. It's threes and layups for Alabama. That's how they function. And they take a whole lot of threes, Anita. And when they don't make threes, you know what they don't do? They don't guard. So it's really hard to win. It's not like Alabama teams of recent years, even last year, where they played the same way offensively, but they had elite rim protection. They were a very good defensive team. Now they end up crapping out of the tournament in this round of Sweet 16. But this team is not like that. They do not have an interior presence defensively. They do not have the mentality to guard that much on the perimeter. And I think Grand Canyon, again, they're alive. I love them on the with the points, and I think they're alive dog to win. I have them in my bracket going to Sweet 16, and I think that's very possible we could see that happen.
Your tournament update right now, driven by Nissan. One more game on today's slate I want to throw out your way, and that's Yale. Wow. 13 seed going up against San Diego State. And tip-off is at 9:40 p.m. I want to say I was reading, right, the Yale leading scorer has already agreed to an internship with some type of investment firm right here in New York City this summer. That's who's pulling upsets in March Madness. Really a phenomenal story. They're getting 5.5. What can you say about this Yale team? Are you giving them a shot against San Diego State?
100%. I mean, I know this team well. I've watched them all year. I call the Ivy Final. It's the league I played in. It's the league that I care about the most. And I'm not at all surprised, as I said and wrote about in the week before the tournament started, that we've had the champ week, whether it was Yale, Princeton, or Cornell, whoever won the Ivy League tournament could win one, if not two games in this tournament. And I feel resolute in that. I did not like their matchup with Auburn because I thought Auburn athletically would be able to overwhelm them at times. They couldn't take advantage of some of their perimeter skill set when making shots. And Auburn, I think Auburn would have been, if Auburn played well, then Auburn maybe wins that game. But Auburn didn't play well, and that was credit to Yale and the toughness and poise that Yale showed down the stretch, and Auburn did not. I think this matchup is even better for them than San Diego State, because San Diego State, yes, they're going to have to battle with Jaden Ledee. And Danny Wolf is a sophomore. He's 7 foot tall. People saw him the other day. He didn't play his best game, but he's going to be an NBA player as well. He has continued to refine his body and his skill set, but he's 7 foot, can put on the deck and shoot it. He is a modern NBA big in today's world. The difference with that is he's not there yet, and Jaden Ledee's a grown man. So how they defend him on the perimeter and in the post, if they have to double, how they double out of it and then contest and rebound the ball. San Diego State is not an elite offensive team, more of a grinded out team. They will challenge him on everything on the defensive end. I would look at the under here in this game, seriously look at the under. But I'm going to take today's strategy is gobbling up points. I did it quite a bit yesterday, and we'll do it more today because I do think they are alive at 5.5. This is an extremely well-coached team in James Jones. And again, they can shoot it. Pulakitas, August Mahoney, two of the best shooters. Bez Embang is a high major college basketball point guard, two-time defensive player of the year in that league. They have all these different pieces that and different ways they can work, and they know exactly who they are. They are tough and against smart down the stretch. They need to make their free throws. Had a little bit of an issue with that. They made them at the end of the Auburn game, but they've had a problem with that sometimes throughout the course of the season. They need to make free throws in a situation like this because every point is going to be a premium.
Dallin, let's look big picture before we let you go. Who's your final four? Are they all still alive?
That's funny, Anita. Like, this is how little I guess how little I care about my brackets. We talked about this on ESPN Bet. I did it with our ESPN.com. I had to send in our picks, and I had Houston. I thought I had Houston, Tennessee on one side, UNC, and UConn on the other side. I stomach going, you know, crazy, more double-digit picks, all this other stuff, teams making deep runs, and I ended up with all chalk. Somehow my dumbass put Kentucky in the final four, like in what the bracket that I actually filled out online. So whatever I sent ESPN.com by what I've talked about and what I sent does not match what I actually clicked on. So Kentucky's dead. That's fine. But the rest of my final four is alive. I'm not sure how I did that, but the betting side of things has been a great tournament so far. So that's all I really care about, and let's keep that going today.
There you go. Drake killed me in the East. New Mexico killed me in the West. McNeese State killed me in the Midwest. But at the end of the day, I still have all four Final Four teams alive. Creighton, close call with Oregon last night, but thank God they advanced.
Yeah.
So I went chalk in the East, West, and South. But I do have Creighton coming out of the Midwest. So I'm hoping as the tournament progresses and we get closer to the Final Four, I'll gain some more momentum. Only time will tell. We'll see. Dallin, again, you rock. I know how busy you are. We so appreciate your time here on 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
Good time, Anita. I'm going. Good luck to your Moneyline plays.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Going to hit up the dog park, maybe take in a fun boozy brunch. Who knows? Only time will tell. 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Jose in Brooklyn wants to chime in regard to the Mulkey story. So, Jose, welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Shout out to the company. Definitely wanted to chime in. And, you know, we're still waiting for, you know, May 5th, Anita. We're still waiting for the pickleball day and everything. And we're gonna have a blast. And, you know, but as far as for the Kid Mulkey situation, I was having a tongue-in-cheek conversation with Joe. The only thing that I can honestly say from my personal experience that this accusation or whatever this story is about to come out has to be something extremely heinous and to a point where it actually will affect people's perceptions of names and stuff like that, because the only thing I can relate to is, you know, my own personal experience, you know, with my and my professional career where there was an accusation made and it was so heinous where, you know, people people say, you know, if you say something, you're making it worse or whatever the case may be. But the situation was my name was attached to it and I pretty much went nuclear on the situation. So I kind of understand where she's coming from, but for her to do this, like Joe said, there has to be more than just I'm going after these people and, you know, et cetera, to be preemptive. There has to be some type of, you know, defamation suit that follows and, you know, actual, you know, things where we actually find out stuff in the process in media journalism, because I know that there's sources. But it's one of those things where, like you even said, like sometimes things can get taken out of, you know, context and, you know, headlines may be brought up and whatever the case may be. So it all depends on the seriousness and the gravity of the situation. And I hope it's not serious.
You know, here's the thing, Jose, appreciate the call. You know, here's the thing. You know, we don't know. Like, obviously preparing for the show and after that press conference, I went online to try to find out, like, you know, what is this quote unquote hit piece that she's claiming the Washington Post is going to drop. There's talk and speculation about her political affiliation, whatever, like we don't know, right? We don't know what this column and what this is going to entail. I would imagine that it's pretty damaging, considering that she took it upon herself to have this press conference, as Joe alluded to, prior to LSU trying to win a national championship, because the talk and the story now is going to be about this Washington Post article column, as opposed to, you know, can LSU upset South Carolina for the women's national championship? I just feel like, and I understand her wanting to get in front of it and threatening the Washington Post so the article won't be published. But did she do more damage in doing so than letting the article, the column come out and then reacting to it? So, I know there's a lot of people now who had no idea who she was, don't follow women's sports at all, but now because of this are now more intrigued and are waiting for this column to drop. And I would imagine that the Washington Post now feels that she did them a favor in having this press conference. And now how many more eyes, how many more impressions are going to be on this column if and when it drops. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be quite interesting. Hey, listen, it's been a fun show. The show is flown by for sure. And a big reason why, I know we had a ton of guests and we hit on a lot of topics today. Moke Hamilton, I want to thank Moke Hamilton, who joined us early on in the 9 a.m. hour, talking all things Knicks. They're back in action tomorrow against Detroit. Hopefully that's another win in their column. They've got 12 games remaining, trying to position themselves in a better seed as we get closer to the postseason. Could it be the 3 seed? Could it be the 2 seed? Hopefully it is. That way, of course, again, they can avoid facing the Boston Celtics until the Eastern Conference Championship. We also heard from Joe Wiz giving us some picks and some plays. Just a reminder, mine, my favorite, as well as we just heard from Dallin Cuff, we both like James Madison. I don't know if that's dangerous or what, that we're both on the same side. But James Madison getting 7.5, we also like them on the money line. So I am picking James Madison to upset Duke this afternoon. I also like Utah State getting 11.5 against Purdue. And I think those are my two favorite plays. We've got Colorado and Marquette that's tipping off in just about 10 minutes, so stay tuned for that. I also want to thank Stefania Bell for joining us, Dallin Cuff, and of course our producers, Harvey and Joe, who always do a great job producing the show each and every Saturday and sometimes, of course, like today on Sunday. Everybody, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun day. I'm back next Friday night with Week in Wager. You got Larry Hardesty, who's coming your way next. So big shout out to Larry Hardesty, who always does a great job. Have a great weekend, everybody.